Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, in it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. This far I desire to read with the help of the Lord in our first reading. And now, before we proceed on with reading this chapter, let us bend our knees before the Lord and unite our hearts in prayer to the Lord. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, we are now gathered around thy holy word, and with our weak hearts, O Lord, we turn to thee, calling upon thy great and holy name, O Lord, that we may start our meeting this day of our gathering around thy holy word, that we may start our time in the name of thy holy Son, our blessed Redeemer, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that thou open our hearts and minds to thy word, that thou grant us clear understanding of thy will, that thou, O Heavenly Father, guide us and protect us, that we may grow in the teaching of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grant us, O Heavenly Father, an open heart that will receive thy word, that will retain thy word, that will follow thy precepts, embrace all thy commandments, understand thy intentions for us, O Heavenly Father, and with love and zeal strive for the honor and pure and holy worship of thy holy name. Gracious Lord, our Heavenly Father, we pray that thou teach us to understand thy word in the light of the teaching of Christ. Gracious Lord, we pray that thou keep us from self-will and hypocrisy, that thou, Heavenly Father, keep us and prevent us from doing anything wrong or building an altar that will be artificial, the creation of our own mind or the of the skill of our own hands, that our godliness may be as thou hast told and commanded to thy people of old, that they would build an altar, that they will prepare thee an ark for the covenant, exactly, precisely according to the instruction that thou hast given. Gracious Lord, our Heavenly Father, we pray that thou keep us from that sinful fear of God that was in the city of Jericho, in the city of Ai, and the other godless, idolatrous cities that feared thy holy name and decided to defend themselves against thy will. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that thou keep us from taking thy name lightly and doing our own will and still thinking our God is a gracious and merciful God. He won't care if we go our own way. Gracious Lord, loving Heavenly Father, teach us to see thy holiness in the strictness of thy law and thy justice in thy righteous judgments. Teach us, O Heavenly Father, to be aware and to feel that thou art God of mercy, God gracious and loving, forgiving, receiving the sinners in Christ that come unto thee through Christ, the sinners that come unto thee, O Lord God Almighty, with a penitent heart, truly and sincerely acknowledging their wrong, and in sincere and deep repentance, turning away from sin and turning to thee, O Lord, seeking salvation through Christ. And then, O Heavenly Father, grant us that we continue in thy holy covenant, that we continually reject sin and all evil. Teach us, O Heavenly Father, that with a pure and loving heart we may hate evil, that we may abhor all that is an abomination in thy sight, that we may shun and reject everything that is not honoring and glorifying thy holy name. Thou make us faithful and fruitful in the spiritual fruits of meekness, modesty. Teach us to walk with a humble heart upon the path that leadeth through patience and suffering to eternal glory. Gracious and loving Lord, thou art God and there is none other. There is no rock of ages as the one that thou hast placed in Zion. There is no city of refuge but thy goodness and grace and thy salvation in Christ. There is no other foundation but the gospel that thou hast given, that thou hast presented to us in the example of Christ. There is no better example, O Heavenly Father, of thy disciples but the one that thou hast recorded in the lives and service and ministry of the disciples of Christ. Holy Father, Almighty God, may thy holy word fill our hearts and thy revelation illuminate our minds. May our whole being belong to thee, that our soul and body, mind and spirit, may continually be in thy service, in that delightful fellowship of thy spirit, that we may walk in Christ and never fulfill the lust of the flesh. Thou keep us from all evil, O Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of the Savior, that thou keep us from idolatry, from immorality, that thou keep us from every evil desire. Gracious Lord, forgive us our many weaknesses, shortcomings, mistakes, every disobedience. Forgive us when we are hasty to do our own will, not taking time, not taking any effort to find out if that is thy will, O Lord. Forgive us when we are slow and negligent of doing thy will, O God. And thou grant us purity and holiness of thy Son, that through him we may be thy children, faithful, obedient, beloved, loving and lovable. That thou, O Heavenly Father, mayest always have pleasure in dwelling in our midst, in filling our heart with thy Spirit, in receiving our offerings of praise, gratitude and love, in blessing our zeal for thy holy name and multiplying the fruits of thy Spirit to thy name's honor and glory. Gracious Lord, as we pray that thou forgive us everything that we are guilty of in thy sight, we also pray, O Lord, that thou grant us a loving and forgiving heart and merciful soul, encouraging all that is good and building peace, that spiritual peace of a conscience purged from sin by the precious blood of our blessed Redeemer. Gracious Lord, our Heavenly Father, we pray that thou look in mercy upon those that are erring, that are turning away from thee, or those that in self-will or hypocrisy, while claiming thy will and thy name, are going contrary to thy word. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that thou forgive them and turn their hearts and their minds to thy truth, that they may find that deep and real peace in thy fellowship. Gracious Lord, bless thy holy word and move the hearts of those that thou hast redeemed in Christ, that they may seek the salvation in Christ, that they may seek thy blessing, that they may forsake the world and its sinful ways. Thou, Heavenly Father, grant them true and deep repentance, full conversion. Grant to them, O Lord, also with godly fear to forsake all that is evil, and with Christian love to embrace thy commandments. Teach them, O Lord, with a new heart to have new love, new faith, new hope. Teach them to turn away completely from everything that is evil. And thou, Heavenly Father, grant that peace of thy forgiveness, joy of thy salvation, victory over sin and death, new life in Christ, that peace and joy that is continually in the hearts where thy Spirit is dwelling, and the fruits of the Spirit to be multiplied in the lives that thy Spirit is ruling. Holy Father, watch thou over us, and especially watch over those that are alone and far away and facing great opposition in the midst of a very difficult controversy. Thou, Heavenly Father, grant courage and strength and peace, that deep inner peace and the joy of thy salvation, the joy of thy fellowship, even in their solitude. Gracious Lord, today again thou heal the sick, whether in body or in their soul. Heal the sick and strengthen the weak. Encourage the distressed. Comfort the sad, O Heavenly Father, and thou raise the dead. Gather thy people from every nation, from every corner of this world, let the number be fulfilled. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of the Savior, trusting that Thou knowest all our needs, and that Thou hast the goodness and grace and the power to manifest the power of Thy Spirit in this world, to reveal the beauty of Thy holiness, to glorify Thy Holy Son, in whom Thou art well pleased, that in everything, O Lord God Almighty, even the weak vessels that we are, Thy name may be honored and glorified, and that way that we, being pilgrims here, may walk, having our mind and heart set up upon the heavenly things where our treasure is and where our head is, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Intercessor. Gracious Lord, our Heavenly Father, may this great goodness of Thine and this wonderful work of Thy salvation upon our souls, may all of that bring worship and praise, honor and glory to Thy holy name, this day as we are gathered around Thy holy word, and in all the days of our pilgrimage, that we may be prepared for that heavenly glory, that we may come to the heavenly portal which Thou wilt open to take in Thy nation that has kept the faith, that has finished the race, that has victoriously ended the battle that is Thine in the victory that is also Thine. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever and ever. Amen. In our second reading, beloved, I desire that we continue with the help of the Lord on the verse number 18 of this same chapter 20 of Exodus, to read to the end of this chapter. Exodus chapter 20, verse 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, Ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shall sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I recall my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. That's chapter 20. Now, since the moment of that great victory that the Lord has so plainly and so dramatically revealed or accomplished over the armies of Pharaoh, and after the children of Israel on the other bank of the Red Sea were singing praises to the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord and magnifying His great and holy name, and after they finally have become free from the slavery of Egypt, the children of Israel are now on their way to the Promised Land. Right there in the chapter 15, we see how that journey started. Remember, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when he got out of the water of the River Jordan, that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, to be tested. And our Lord and Savior had an answer by the Word of God to every temptation, to every offering, every enticement, every testing of the evil spirit. There was a ready answer, and we can clearly see that there was nothing, whether in suffering or in pleasure, that would move the heart or the mind of our Lord and Savior in the direction of Satan's will. Not only our Lord and Savior was not inclined at all to do something against the will of the Father, but the Lord Jesus Christ was not interested, had not a desire to do anything that not only is not openly against the will of the Father, but anything that is not strictly the commandment of the Father. You see. So, that was the way that the children of Israel could have gone through the wilderness without that many stumbling blocks that they have placed before them. Right from the beginning, they expected their journey to be a journey that would have no struggles, no difficulties. Just the moment they need something, it must be right there before them. Well, the Lord did not promise anything of that kind to them. But he promised to give strength and to supply the needs in the due time, and that in sufferings, in difficulties, we should rely on his help and patiently wait. So we read here that in chapter 15, I believe it was, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters. Of course, before that, Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. They are thirsty. And the water that they had, they already spent, and now the time is rather difficult. In the wilderness without water, it's a real problem. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of that water. There was water, but they couldn't drink it, for the water was bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Now, these are slaves still, in their hearts, in their minds. They're free from the land of Egypt, but in their mind, they don't know how to communicate with the Lord. They don't know how to seek the Lord's mercy in their need, but they murmur. They protest. They chide. They argue. They are rebellious. They used to be ruled with a rod of iron, not with grace and mercy. Now, we are walking through the wilderness of this world, and we should be careful that we don't take the grace of God as weakness and become disrespectful and rebellious. The people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he had cast that tree into the waters were made sweet, and there he made for them a statute and an ordinance and there he proved them. How? See, that tree was there all the time. The water was there all the time. The water was bitter so that no one else could drink it. The water was reserved for the people of God. And right there, close to the water, was the tree that should be cast into the water so that they can drink it. There was no need for rebelling. There was no need for murmuring, protesting, and yelling at Moses and Aaron. Only they had to pray to the Lord, and the Lord will reveal all that they need. There he proved them and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, not in thy own sight, but in the sight of God, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and not to the murmurings of one another, enticing or pushing one another into an evil manner and behavior that is not acceptable in the sight of the Lord. And if thou wilt keep all his God's statutes, God will put none of these diseases upon thee which he has brought upon the Egyptians. For God said, I am the Lord that healeth thee." Now, if God is not going to put any of those sicknesses, why is the Lord the one that healeth them? Where did the sicknesses and the illnesses come from? Right from their heart. They had those sicknesses in their own system, so to say, inside of them, and the Lord will heal them if, when they see any symptom, if they don't accelerate that, if, when they feel rebellious, if they don't follow their rebellion but pray to the Lord is going to heal them. But if they turn against the Lord, then they're not Israelites, they're Egyptians. Egyptians rebelled against the Lord all the way until they were destroyed. "I am the Lord that healeth thee." And so they came after that. Perhaps the people did see that the Lord was gracious and patient with them, and their heart was changed for the moment. For after that, they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water, and 70 palms, 70 palms, and they encamped there by the waters. They had a very good time. And in our pilgrimage, we also can see that there are times and days of joy and gladness and abundance. There are also days of struggle and difficulties. And yet, in every situation, God is always with them that are his own and that cleave to his holy word. So they took their journey from that place. They did not remain in that beautiful place of rest and recovery and comfort and so on. They had to go on their way. And I think that this is another indication for us that if we truly experience the blessing of the Lord and we are rejoicing for a time, we should not spend the rest of our life here in this earth minding our earthly business only and thinking how glorious and wonderful was that time when we were so close to the Lord and now we do nothing about that. That's not the way of true and faithful believers. It's not the way of the Lord. So they moved on, and they came into the wilderness of Sin on the 15th day of the second month. So that's about 1 month after they left, just over a month after they left the land of Egypt. Again, the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt." What they really saying, obviously God wants to destroy us all. We wish he did that in the land of Egypt. It was nice to die there, not here in the wilderness.
when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, what do we see really? They did not forsake their slavery. They're still slaves. You see, they're pulling in that foreign yoke of unbelievers. They're not true and faithful Israelites. And then they murmur against Moses and Aaron, "Ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Apparently they were hungry. "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, a certain amount that is sufficient to feed themselves and their children, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not." How did the Lord prove them? He gave them food every day, only as much as they needed, but as much as they needed. "And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." See, on the sixth day, which was Friday, the Lord would give them double amount of food so that they could gather as much as they needed for Friday and for Saturday, for Sabbath. "And Moses and Aaron said unto the children of Israel, At even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt, and in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, so that for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we, Moses and Aaron, that he murmur against us?" And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God." So it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host, and when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, something like small grains, as small as the hoar frost, on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "What is that?" And so the name of that food was called "What is that?" which means manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man, according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents." And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet, when they measured that with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over. He had exactly as much as necessary for his household. And he that gathered little had no lack, because he also had exactly for the few people that were in his household. They gathered every man according to his eating. So that was another sign to them from the Lord, that the Lord has taken care of them, that he is providing for their needs. And Moses said, "Let no man live of it till the morning." Now, listen to this. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. So the Lord is giving them bread, just as he is giving the word of God to us today. And the Lord is saying, this is the way you're going to use this bread that I'm giving you, and use it exactly according to the instruction. But they are negligent, they are rebellious, and they don't want to do exactly what the Lord says. And the Lord is giving us a sign. that when we use the word of God out of due time, it's not the word of God anymore. It's the mess that you made from the word of God. When we do anything with the word of God that is not the intention and the will of the Lord, then we are going on that other side, using the word of God contrary to the will of the Lord, as the enemy did when he tempted the Lord in the wilderness. They gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. There is that part of the word of God, that part of the message, that is one time message. And when the time is over, that message does not apply anymore to any other time. So we should be rightly dividing the word of God, understanding the meaning of the message. It came to pass on the sixth day they gathered twice as much, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seed that ye will seed, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they did so. And it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. What do we see? The message of the word of God intended for tomorrow remains fresh for tomorrow. But if we take the commandments or the ordinances of the Old Testament and try to somehow apply them to the New Testament, it stinks and breeds worms. If we try to take the customs and traditions of the Gentiles and make them Christian days and celebrations and festivities, it stinks and breeds worms. It's mixing holy and unclean. So those that gather from the word of God at the right time, in the right way, they will have sufficiently for their souls, for the Lord is using the abundance of his grace to sustain the souls of those that are faithful. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none outside, but you will have what you have gathered. It came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for together, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? You see, they had as much as they needed in their tents, but they just had to go out to see, did the Lord perform everything the way he said? They were testing and tempting the Lord. And what happened in the end? They left their bones in the wilderness. They never reached the promised land. And so on. In the chapter 17, we read that the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and they reached Rephidim, and there again there is no water for the people to drink, and then the people chide with Moses. They don't come to Moses and say, we have some difficulty, we are thirsty, our cattle is thirstier, perhaps children are crying, we have no water here, what shall we do? No, they come to Moses and they chide, they argue, they rebel continuously. From each time they have some difficulty, they rebel again and again. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide you with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst. What do we see? Whenever there is a difficulty, they turn back to Egypt. They want to go back. Their slavery is much better than their freedom for them. Why? They're slaves. They're not free men. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto these people? They're almost ready. They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee all the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river. Take it in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb." You see? "I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, the water of chiding, or the water of quarreling, arguing. And because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Next thing that happened to them, Amalek fought with Israel in Rephidim. Now, in this water coming out of the rock, actually about that, we find the explanation in the writings of the Apostle Paul, that the rock was Christ and the water was living water and so on. And God willing, when we get time, we will study more about that. But at this moment, we see that that cliff God has prepared. Water was ready for them. Instead of chiding, instead of arguing, instead of rebelling, they just had to pray and ask, and they would have received. Perhaps they would have to wait a little bit more. Maybe one day they had to be thirsty in order to appreciate that water better and more. But the people were very slow learning God's ways. And that is teaching us that we also are people, that we also are slow in learning God's ways. When we feel that we are tempted to be rebellious, then we should be very careful not to allow that rebellion to grow. But as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, that from heart comes all the evil, then we should pray for the grace of God that that evil that starts in the heart be rooted out and would never develop into rebellion. And the Lord will take care of our needs. And if we suffer, well, the Lord suffered much more. And how glorious and wonderful is His victory. All those that suffer with patience will suffer less. For this suffering is short. Suffering forever is much worse. Then they face the people of Amalek, enemies of the Lord. And Moses said unto Joshua, "Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did it. Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. The Jehovah is my banner, or my victory. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Here we have another very interesting teaching and lesson, that as long as the hands of Moses were lifted up to the Lord, Israel prevailed. We also can see here two sides of the life of each believer, and especially those whom the Lord has called, as Moses was called, to lead his people. It's not an easy thing to deal with the rebellion amongst the people and keep his own self, Moses, to keep himself in everything obedient to the Lord. Not to be provoked to anger and to continue in prayers. And Moses, in this case, being on the hilltop overlooking the battlefield of the people of Israel, Moses held his hands up, and the children of Israel prevailed, but Moses' hands got tired. And so Aaron and Hur, helping Moses, placed stones under the hands of Moses, and they helped Moses' hands. On one side we see how they struggle to continue in prayer. On the other side we see that struggle or strife was shared, not only Moses but also his helpers are helping him, and they needed that fellowship of working together, being united in that desire to continue and to see the victory of God's people. But also they needed something strong and firm to put underneath the arms of Moses so that he can endure and continue. And so in our prayers we should always lean on the Word of God. In our prayers we should not lean on the desires of our heart or imagination of our mind, but on something that is firm and stable, and that's the Word of God. So God is preparing His people through corrections, through improvements, through teaching, through miracles, and he's bringing them to the moment when he's going to give them his commandments. In the chapter 18 we see that Moses is united with his family, his wife Zipporah, and his two sons are coming back. This also might be an indication that there was some real difficulty in the family, that the family had to be divided and separated during the period of battling against Pharaoh in the land of Egypt, and perhaps also during the first period of battling against the rebellion in the people of Israel. So in the third month, the children of Israel were gone. After the children of Israel were gone out of the land of Egypt, they came the same day, the third month, they came the same day into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, Then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. We see in this chapter 19 a few moments that might help us understand the passages and verses in Revelation. They are going to be the kingdom of priests and an holy nation, a treasure above all people, for all the earth is the Lord's. These are the words, the Lord says further, which thou, Moses, shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken we will do. How many times they will say that, and how many times they will transgress that? See, they see themselves as a very good people. They believe that they will do the will of the Lord, and they're not rebellious. Well, if they are, sometimes they have a reason, you see. It's not easy, it's difficult. And being people in the flesh, we can understand it is difficult, but we also should be able to see that their rebellion did not make it less difficult for them, but more difficult. So, once again, they promise they will obey the Lord and they will listen to the voice of God and so on, obey His commandments. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. You see, they had the opportunity to be faithful forever, to believe forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready again the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon the Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourself that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the border shall be surely put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. See, the Lord is giving them a schedule and an order how to behave, what to do, to stand afar and to come up to the mountain when they hear the sound of the trumpet. And they are going to come to a certain line or certain place and not go any further. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people. You see, Moses is climbing up and then coming down and climbing up again and coming down. He's working and the people are waiting down there. And Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, come not at your wives. Now what was wrong about that? He didn't say, be sure not to commit fornication or adultery, but he said, abstain. You see that the good preparation for the revelation of God's will is fasting. Not allowing ourselves to be distracted with anything that is part of our daily life living. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether, lower part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. The whole mountain looked like a huge furnace. Now we know some small part of that when we see forest fires and brush fires around here. The whole mount quaked greatly. Now, fire is terrible, but earthquake and fire together is much more terrible. And then the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder. In the meantime, thunder is roaring and lightnings are flashing. Smoke is rising up and the whole mountain is quaking. And the people are quaking too, shaking. And then Moses spake and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount and called, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down. He just came up. Go down and charge the people as they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. You see, disrespect, the absence of God's fear and respect for God in the minds of people can cause many to perish. And let the priests also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. You see, all the people should fear God and respect His word, but especially those that minister at the altar or in the name of God, minister to the people, they should be very careful to sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount, and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, get it down. What is the Lord saying? That these people are not reliable. Yes, they receive the commandment, but they are careless. Rush and tell them again to be careful and to obey the commandment of God. Moses had a very difficult ministry. Very difficult ministry. And yet, if Moses refused or neglected his ministry, it would have been much more difficult. So, and thou shalt come, the Lord says to Moses, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. And finally, we come to this chapter 20, that with the help of the Lord, we will look into that, God willing, next time and see what was the meaning and the essence of the commandments of God. God has given the commandments to His people, and whoever kept His commandments was alive through them. Obedience, the desire to obey the Lord, was a sign that they are living by the goodness and mercy of the Lord. As little as I share with you my great weakness, may the Lord bless His word and multiply it in our hearts and give clear and ever-clearing understanding to our minds, so that we understand the word of God, and understanding it, that we love His commandments and obey Him, and in obedience that we may experience more and more the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that even in this life we may be blessed, and that the name of the Lord be honored and glorified, and much more after this short earthly journey.
that we may in peace and joy forever praise and glorify God's name with all the redeemed ones, being led and represented by our great High Priest, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to our Heavenly Father for His goodness and mercy, may from all of our hearts be gratitude, love, and praise. Amen.